About 5 years ago, I landed flat on my face. I'd been working so hard trying to be self-employed for the very first time, but it just didn't work out. And I had to bite the bullet and come to the realization that, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. And I had to learn those hard lessons of self-employment. In today's podcast, I'm going to step you through all of those hard lessons that I feel that I've learnt that you need to learn if you are looking at going self-employed or freelance for the very first time. Now, this is kind of a deep dive into the depths of my brain, so I hope you enjoy. We'll also step through the idea of YouTubers trying to unionize and threatening to move to TikTok and my opinion on that, as well as a trip down memory lane as I throw one of my old YouTube videos at you, which, I'll be honest, I've yet to decide at this point in time. So, are you ready? Here we go! Hello, and welcome to the Start Creating Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you grow on social media, from YouTube to Instagram and so much more. I am your host, Alan Spicer, your YouTube certified expert. I have around about 12 years worth of experience in this industry, from web development to social media marketing and video editing in itself. This podcast will be about news, tips, tricks, and your submitted questions should you need any help within the social media space. So follow, subscribe, enjoy the ride, go out there, start creating. Hello and welcome back to the Start Creating Podcast, episode 11. Now, one of my dear darling friends sent me a link last night, which was to an article which got me thinking. Now, this is going to be a fairly controversial opinion for some of you, but bear with me, I'll try to explain it. Now, it seems that there's a group of YouTubers that are a little disgruntled, that are petitioning YouTube to listen to smaller YouTubers and meet their demands, or they'll disappear to the growing platform, which is TikTok. You know, the latest thing where you dance to stuff and you throw a load of stickers at people to make money. Kind of like Vine on steroids. Now, their argument is that YouTube doesn't distribute the revenue on the site evenly. That small YouTubers act as bait to create content to push people into other videos in which are monetized. They complain that there is automation when it comes to customer service, that there's no direct response, that there's no clear guidelines that says what you can and what you can't do, what you can and can't monetize, what you should and shouldn't upload, and that they feel that this is unfair. Their argument is that by the end of August, they want a response. They want a more progressive approach when it comes to the smaller creators on YouTube. Now, this is my controversial opinion when it comes to this. I can't help but look at these people as whingers. They're underestimating exactly what they get for free. They're complaining about penny change when they should be focusing on their brand. YouTube doesn't throw huge amounts of money at YouTube creators. I'm not sat here making thousands of pounds a day just because I'm monetized, right? I got 100,000 views last month. 100,000. It's a tenth of a million. That doesn't mean that I've made £100,000. Just because I'm monetized doesn't mean that I'm making money hand over fist. And it also doesn't mean that that's how the world works. If you're working for a business, let's say you work for a bank. Banks make millions, if not billions, every year, every day in some cases. If you work for Apple, if you work for Facebook, they are literally billion pound companies. Apple is worth trillions on the stock market. Do you honestly think that they pay an Apple genius on the stock floor the equivalent of the same as anybody else in the higher ends of the business? Of course not. All you are doing on YouTube is creating content, and this is the life lesson that you need to learn. YouTube is a free media platform that allows you to upload content for free at any time that you want. You can create any content that you wish that isn't violent, that isn't abusive, that isn't dangerous, and you can upload it whenever you wish. You can link it to any other websites, any other platforms. Once you've created that content, you could upload it natively to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr and anywhere that you wish. The only reason you are whinging is because you have yet to prove your worth. Now, I know that sounds rather high and mighty, but at the end of the day, if you're not willing to commit to the idea of creating enough content to get you to 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time, that you're not putting in the hard work in the first place. I can't walk in to a music venue after having one piano lesson and demand the stage and an audience. I can't kick a ball around at my local park, walk to Old Trafford and demand to play in front of a Premier League stadium full of people. YouTube may be a hobby platform at heart, but if you truly wish to earn a living out of YouTube, you need to do the legwork yourself. I've created, in my lifetime on YouTube, easily 1,600 videos. 350 of them are now tutorials that are on the Alan Spicer channel. I've edited, possibly once again, 500, 600, 700, 800, 1,000 videos for clients that upload content. I've had a look at analytics for hours and hours and hours on end. I've gone out of my way to study to become YouTube certified, right? People seem to be focusing on the minor facts here. If every single creator on YouTube was to make money out of advertisers, the advertisers wouldn't trust the quality of the adverts, the content being placed against it, and you would be getting even less from YouTube AdSense than we currently do. If you're an education channel, you could be making maybe up to $10 per thousand view if the educational content is good. If you're an entertainment channel, and I speak from personal experience, I was making around about 5 to 10 cents per thousand view. And that's with a controlled inventory. Now, I can't help but think that this whole idea of unionizing and going to TikTok is the voices of the whinging few. Right, I've tried to explain this to a friend of mine. Now, imagine that you're at school and there's 30 people in your classroom. Out of those 30 people, you all go through education. And at the end of education, 10 of you fully understand that, okay, that's it. That's my education now. I have to go off and, you know, get a job now and earn money and pay the bills and meet the real world, right? 10, 12, 15 of you may go into further education and university, and you may maybe go through that cycle where you're funded and given free money to go to university, in which then you realise that's not free money, it's debt, but fine, right? And then the remaining 5 of you get slapped in the face and refuse to go and get a real job, or refuse to go into further education, or go through further education and come out the other end, and still don't like the idea of, that means I have to get up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, that means I have to grow up and not be a teenager anymore, I have to hit my 20s and hit responsibility. YouTube is that new world. YouTube is growing up. YouTube couldn't be the wild, wild west for its entire life. YouTube needed to go and become legitimate. Go and get that first job. Now, in the process, what they've started doing is weeding out the stuff that they can't have on the platform for it to be recognized as a serious entity. It can't have abusive content. It can't have bullies. It can't have underage pornography. It cannot have abuse. It cannot have horrific parody. It cannot have pranks that are harmful. It cannot have propaganda that is mind-bending, that could harm children. It can't have conspiracy theories. It can't have white supremacists. It can't have, on the other side, it can't have anti-vaxxers. It needed to grow up. It needed to become responsible. It needed to put that suit on and walk through that door and get that first job. Right? Get off your ass, Billy. Stop playing Fortnite, right? Just because somebody else won $3 million recently doesn't mean that you can, because, you know, that's not how the world works. And I honestly feel that these people that are looking to unionize and shout at YouTube and threaten to walk and go to TikTok, I honestly say to them, fine, fuck you, go and do it. I wish you all the best. Let's see how it works. Let's walk to TikTok and let's see how you do on a platform that is funded on venture capitalist money from China. Let's see how the world works. Let's see how Vine collapsed. Let's see how Snapchat is running out of popularity. Let's see how anything else that doesn't have huge corporate backing survives in the world. There's been many, many other video platforms out there, but none of them have the deep pockets of Google. The only businesses out there that will kill YouTube is either Google themselves because they get bored, or Facebook when either they buy YouTube or they make their own equivalent. Facebook has 2 billion active users logged in every day. Fine, walk over to TikTok. Can you honestly see them developing something that is sustainable, that will share revenue with you? Every platform has hoops to jump through. For you to be an affiliate at Twitch, you have to stream a certain amount. You have to be active a certain amount. How is that any different? You can't log into Twitch and immediately make money. You have to jump through the hoops, and even then you only get a share of the value of the money. That's the same with YouTube. The flip side is YouTube is a very, very large and free platform that you can drive your own traffic to if you are sensible enough on learning how to create content and optimize it. And if you optimize it properly, you can generate your own leads. I make 90% of my income as a full-time YouTuber through the leads it generates out of my free content. I've been putting out free tutorials for 2 years. 2 years of telling people how to do it, so then they reach out and ask me to do it for them or to consult for them. I make 90% of my income without YouTube paying it to me. So, it's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to realize that if you truly want to make money off of YouTube, you need to stop thinking about YouTube paying you. You need to create content that drives people to you. Leads, traffic, email list, selling them products, selling them services. Use YouTube as the advertising platform. You don't need ads against your content to make you money. You just need to think outside the box and stop being a whiny 20-year-old. Go and get a job, Billy. Go and get a job. I've had enough of your bawling around, Jeff. And that's enough of a rant for today. Now, before we deep dive into the hardships which are self-employment and all the lessons that I learned over the years that you need to learn very quickly, I want to help you grow your YouTube channel to get those leads, to bring that money in, so you never have to rely on a YouTube payslip. Right? And for you to do that, I suggest you go to alanspicer.com/ebook and download the 3 ebook, in which I step you through everything that you need to know to starting and growing a YouTube channel, and it's completely free. alanspicer.com/ebook. When I very first went self-employed, It was a jump into the unknown. Everyone that's been in the normal working world is used to the normal routine. You wake up at a certain time, you jump into your uniform, you run your way down to work, you make sure you make that connection, that public transport or whatever you need, right? You've got structure. You go in, you clock in, you have your lunch break, you clock out, you go home. You've got your same bus routes home or your same public transport home or the same driving route. Now, when you go self-employed, a lot of this structure disappears. The Monday to Friday, the 9 to 5, the bus routes, the clients, the leads, the workload, the to-do lists. This is now all on you. It's on you to focus. It's on you to drive yourself. It's on you to understand what makes you tick, what makes you drive, what makes you get up in the morning, what makes you not watch 17 hours of Jeremy Kyle. Well, that's not a problem in the UK anymore, is it? But you have the roughest 6 to 12 months of adapting that you'll ever, ever find. Now, I know this sounds like a fairly first world problem, but it's a serious issue. Now, if you're going self-employed, whether it's running your own business, whether it's YouTube, whether it's anything really, whether you're wishing to go freelance, whether you need to be at home to look after the kids whilst your partner goes to work, anything really, if you are using this time now to start your own business in your own self-employment, maybe you have some money set aside, maybe you don't. It's the first 6 to 12 months that will help you learn and fail all at the same time. Now, you need to build routine in, and you need to drill that routine into you. The first 6 to 12 months, you do all of the things that you thought that you would love to do when you was at work. You know, I'll just nip out to the shop at 10 o'clock in the morning. Oh, you know, yeah, I'll just take an early lunch break. Oh, yeah, I'll just, that hour lunch break is now an hour and a half, 2 hours. Oh, yeah, well, you know, if I just work a little harder, like in the evening, then I can have tomorrow off. Or how about I schedule that phone call then? And how, it's all of the pitfalls that you don't really notice. And many people kind of, I don't know, lose the ability to understand that you're working. Now, as far as I'm aware, and I've had a couple of friends go self-employed, it's a fairly universal thing. Now, it's the first 2 or 3 months that you don't know, like, do you sit on your sofa and do your work? Now, you realise that sofa actually means that at any point you can put on whatever you actually want to watch on TV whilst your partner's out of the house and there's no three-year-old running around, right? And then you get sucked into what's on TV or what's on the news or what you actually wanted to watch in the first place, or maybe that film or maybe that game. I'll be honest, the first 6, 12 months, maybe 2, 3 years of my very first business, I sucked at it. And that was probably why my first business failed so hard. Because I had to try and understand to learn that you need to force your own routine on yourself. You have to get up at a set time. You have to work through a set period of time. You have to be committed to that idea. Because it is oh so easy as your own boss to, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. It's like your homework when you was at school, you know? You know in your homework diary that it had to be done by Friday and it's now Monday. So you'll do it on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. And now you're doing it on the bus on the way to school on Friday morning because it's the first period. And, you know, that's... Mrs. Saunders is going to shout at you, right? So the first 6 to 12 months is very hard to focus. But if you drill down on it, you soon understand that it needs to be done. Also, after a while, the yay experience of you having your own job and you being your own boss soon wears off because, yeah, for the first 2-3 weeks, if you're truly driven, if you truly love what you wish to achieve, right, in the first 2 or 3 weeks, yeah, fine, it's fun, but then after a while it gets a bit boring. You get the same things, you get the same repetitive stuff, right? It's the same content over and over again on TV.
Not to mention you get interrupted constantly by, you know, postmen whilst you're recording your podcasts. Now, after a while, you'll get bored of what's on TV. You'll get bored of, tell you what, for me, it was Frasier on Channel 4. Now, obviously, that's probably a very British reference, but still, my problem was that I'd have the same thing in over and over and over and over and over again. And it's the first 12 months that you truly need to nail it, right? If you can focus, if you can understand what triggers you, what is the thing that makes you distract yourself? What is the thing that you're more likely to do rather than work? What's the thing that you'll forget if you're not focusing properly? Now, I deliberately made sure that the environment that I was in was conducive to my work life. So when I was in my first studio flat type thing, which was kind of like a bedsit, basically, I made sure that I had a whiteboard. I made sure that I constantly had the rolling news on TV and it was muted, or, you know, at least I could turn it on and off, but it was deliberately something like the rolling news. That way, I wasn't being distracted by me playing, say, Destiny, or by me watching Red Dwarf reruns or the sporting events that were on TV or anything like that. That way, I could focus on my work. Or if I was taking a 5-10 minute break, it was something that was, you know, educational, like the news. Now, the first 6 to 12 months is also the time where it dawns on you that everything about your new life work balance is on you. Everything. Right? You need to realize that every move that you make, every phone call that you need to arrange, every client that you need to contact with, every sale, every invoice, everything is now on you. If you were in a normal working environment, if you was in an office, then there'd be a manager to help, you know, kick you up the arse. Or there'd be someone to tell you when to go on lunch breaks or when to come back from lunch breaks. Or there'd be a to-do list that you have to do throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month. There'll be a sales target for you to hit. Now, if it becomes very apparent within the first 2, 3, 6, 12 months exactly what you need to do, and it will smack you in the face, and it will do so viciously. But it's what you have to learn to adapt to be self-employed. Now, you obviously have to weave your life around your work, but you also have to weave your life and work balance properly. Just because you're at home doesn't mean that you can always pick up the kids. Just because you're at home doesn't mean that you always have to do the chores and the housework. Just because you're at home doesn't make you effectively the keeper of everything else but your work. You need to be selfish on some level in which you know that that is your work time, right? You need to get into your own head that the 9 till 5 still does exist, right? Even if you choose to do 9 till 7, even if you choose to do 6 till 6. Those hours, whatever you choose, have to be your work time, and you have to stick to them. You have to be religious to them, because sooner or later, if you start letting them slip, you'll realize that although you love spending time with your kids, although you love spending time with your friends, although you love doing a specific hobby, that is now shooting you in the foot. That is the only thing you are doing during the day, and you are not working. You are not grafting. You are not stepping towards the end goal. You are not creating content. You are not getting views. You are not creating blogs. You are not posting on social media. You are not reaching out to clients. You are not improving quality content. You are not creating the things that the clients need. And therefore, this will create stress, and this will barrel into everything else that's all around you, or it will make you hate the fact that you now no longer have a traditional job. Now, if you truly want to work for yourself, if you truly wish to do everything that you wish within your boundaries, on your time, on your dime, and have nobody else to answer to, then you have to be your own boss. I have a little joke with myself every now and then, and joke to everybody else around me, in which, like, you know, dude, can you, you know, do such and such today? And I'll go, yeah, I'll just talk to my boss. My boss is a bit of a dick, but, you know, in which I realise that, yeah, I am my own boss. And yes, I can give myself a stupid pay rise, but I'm not going to, because there's businesses and business expenses that you need to run. And all of these things are the things that you dawns on you. It's all on you, right? Everything. You have to balance the company right. You have to be honest with yourself. How much can the business sustain from you in a wage? Can you even take a wage? Does it make sense for you to work a side job whilst working self-employed? Or is it at a point where the business does make enough income, but you have to be sensible? Don't go out and buy a fucking Maserati, right? And a Rolex watch just because you got a sale that is worth that kind of money, right? Because you need to get used to the feast and famine roller coaster. When I was a web developer, and I was a web developer for around about 7-8 years, some months were fantastic. Some months were horrific. I put myself into so much debt that I had to close my first business because I didn't manage it right. I didn't look at it properly. I didn't balance my life properly, right? Don't get me wrong, I wasn't going out drinking every night. I'm not that kind of person, but I was putting too much risk and not enough work into the environment. So at one point I took a loan out. I thought that would help. And then, you know, 2 or 3 months later, because I have money in the business, I was sat there playing Destiny or Skyrim or whatever. So you need to understand your life-work balance properly. You need to understand that everything that you do is a direct impact on your business, your success, and everything that is coming to you, right? So I highly advise that you set yourself a routine. Monday to Friday, 9 till 5, 9 till 7, 6 till 6, whatever, right? Stick to it. If you're able to work at weekends, fine, right? You'll tend to find that because you're self-employed, you'll put more time into your own effort and your own work because you realise that 5-10 minutes of overtime at your old job meant nothing, whilst the 5-10 minutes worth of overtime in your own business directly sees results that go directly into your own pockets. Now, when I say your own pockets, I also mean make sure that you get the things done that you need to get things done, right? Because everything will be coming in and out of your pockets, right? So, in my case, I get my work done by, I get up early mornings, I make sure that my other half and my stepdaughter is out the door for nursery, or I look after my stepdaughter throughout the day. And whenever I get the chance, whether it's early in the morning when she's still sleeping, or in the evening when she's gone to bed and my other half is in bed or in bath, I then, you know, that's an extra 20, 30 minutes that I hop on. And if you truly love your work, you know, you may be lucky enough that it doesn't feel like a job. I feel that my hobby has turned into something that earns me money. It's why I love doing it, right? And I highly advise that you try and aim for that kind of experience, but try not to push yourself too hard in the process. I mean, if you clearly hate what you're doing, do you really want to do it freelance, right? If you truly hate what you're doing, are you doing it just for the money, right? Or does it fit around life-work balance? Now, also, remember that it's a case of long term. I'm planning for this to work out in 3 to 5 year chunks. I've got a plan for the next, I've got a long term plan where I want to be in 5-10 years time, but I also have plans for like the next 2 to 3 years, and then the following 2 to 3 years, and the following 2 to 3 years. The reason for that is I have micro goals within the whole macro plan. But the next 2 to 3 years, I want to be a certain point. Whether it's a certain size, whether it's a certain income base, whether it's a certain client base, whether it's a certain notoriety. And next time I want to take a further step forward, and then the further step forward, and then within, you know, 5 or 10 years, I'll be at the macro goal, in which then you reevaluate and you have a look. Now, you need to know what you need in the long term to plan your short term success. In 5 years' time, do you need a certain amount of money? Do you need a certain monthly income? You need to plan backwards over the course of those 2, 3, 5 years, what that needs to do. Does that mean that you need 3 or 4 sales a week? So therefore, those are then a retainer that then build up a monthly income? Or do you need set amounts of money per month? Now, within my web development world, none of my clients were on retainer. So I was constantly having to advertise to get a sales, to keep them, to make the money. And it was like, I'd get a deposit, I'd get a final payment, and that would be the cash influx that would feed the next month. That feast or famine was very uncomfortable for me. So this new business that has been running for nearly 2 years is much more successful because I understand now what I required. I needed retainer clients. So they may pay me a little less, but they pay me monthly. And in the process, I get to stick around. I get 5, 6, 7 of these clients that are easier to keep happier because you're not having to constantly sell to the next person and the next person and the next person trying to find them, right? All I have to do is keep the same 5, 6, 7 people happy constantly, and they will constantly pay me £200, £300, £400 per month each, and that all adds up. You need to figure out what you're doing and how it's funding, how much you need in, how much you need out. You also need to understand how you are invoicing that. Invoices would have been dealt with by your previous company. You would have clocked in, you would have put on your headset, you would have dealt with all of those banking inquiries, all of that insurance inquiries, or you would have gone to work as a security guard or stacking shelves or smashing your keyboard into your face for 6 to 8 hours a day. And then at the end of that month, you would have got paid your agreed amount. Now, freelance work or being self-employed has the advantage that every penny that comes in is yours at whim, subject to tax. But for you to get those in, you also have to deal with your invoices by sending them, by receiving them, by chasing them. Also, understanding what it means if they are missed, if people refuse to pay, if people start to change their mind. Now, this is the weird thing of self-employment. Not, you wouldn't imagine walking into Tesco's, picking up a sausage roll, walking out, eating the sausage roll, and then 2 or 3 days later going, you know what? Nah, I don't want that anymore. Unfortunately, within the self-employed world, some people feel that that's their right to do. Some people believe that, you know, oh, can you just do it free for exposure? Or can you just do this? Can you just do that? Now, you need to clearly set parameters before you start. And I highly advise you set time limits as well, right? That's one of the things from my web development world days. Like, so many times I'd sell a website, I'd expect it to be built within 3 weeks. And then the client didn't like the design, or they did like the design, but 3 months later they don't like the design, and then they get a friend, and then another friend, and their friend within the design world, and then 8, 10, 12 months down the way, we're still finessing the same design that they had agreed 2 weeks into the build, and then either we've built it, or we're now doing edits forever and a day. You need to be very specific with your time. You need to be very honest, direct, right? Because it's only fair on you and your clients, right? If you can tell them 100% of the time this is exactly what they're going to get, this is the time frame and the consequences of it moving outside there, right? Then you will get a better environment and a better time. Now, I, under the retainer world of things, seem to do much better with this, right? Because I don't mind if I'm on a retainer given the odd couple of freebies, because I know each month, no matter what, I've kept them happy, and then I'm going to get another sale and another sale and another invoice from them on a rolling basis. I've got some clients that have been with me for 2 years of the 2 years of the business. And that continues to build in some security, which can be the biggest concern for self-employment. Now, just to wrap it all up quickly for you, at the end of the day, being self-employed is a hard life lesson. But if you truly want it, if you truly believe that this is your goal, that this is your destiny, You just need to nail yourself down to the idea. Treat it like a job, because it is a job. Get up, do the work. Understand that the first 2, 3, 4 years will be truly backbreaking, because you have to do the legwork. You have to make those videos. I was weirdly lucky that the first year of my business, I was single. So I didn't have anyone to argue with over my work-life balance. I could be selfish for my business. I could get up at 6 a.m. and I could keep working till 2 p.m, right? 2 a.m, right? I could nap when I needed to. I could eat when I needed to. But I was creating content. I was writing blogs. I was reaching out. I was finding clients. You will have to put the hard work in. But at the end of the day, it's 100% yours to celebrate. There is nothing better than climbing a mountain by yourself rather than using the escalator, the elevator, or that pet donkey, right? At the end of the day, it's worth the grind. But honestly, don't kick yourself if it doesn't work the first time. This is the thing that I have to express. For me, in my early 20s, a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, and many others that have tried to taking a swing at their own business and failed the first time round. Just because it doesn't go right doesn't mean it's the end of the dream. My first business failed. It cost me 20 odd grand. It took me 5 years to pay off that debt. I've only just cleared it. I went back to the normal world and got a job for 2 years. So from the ages of 28 to 30, 28 to 32, I continued to grind in the normal world, and then I came back to it. Just because it doesn't work out the first time doesn't mean you can't do it again. I've learned so much from my first business. It was a 20 grand deposit in my business future that at the time I didn't realize I was making. Trust me, I don't make anywhere near the same mistakes as I used to do with my old business. I work much harder, I am much more dedicated, I am much more focused, and I've learnt everything that I needed to be self-employed. So, why don't you learn from my bumps and bruises? And if you want to go self-employed, go reach for that star, that brass ring. Go out there. Start creating. Now, in keeping with exactly what we've been talking today on today's podcast, I'm going to take you on a trip down memory lane and tell you with one of my YouTube videos how I became a full-time YouTuber and earning enough income to support my life with just 3,000 subscribers. So, enjoy the ride. Today is going to be a long one. I'm going to teach you how I went full-time on YouTube with only 3,000 subscribers and how you can do it too. Here we go! Hello and welcome back to another video. I'm Alan Spicer, your YouTube certified expert. And if you're looking to start a YouTube channel, grow your YouTube channel, or push your brand out there onto the second largest search engine on the internet, you should click subscribe, start creating. Now, I've been buzzing around on the internet for years. I've been a web developer, I've been a social media marketer, I've been a YouTube dabbling hobbyist, and a YouTube consultant. My long-term plan was always to find some way to make this camera and these lights pay for my rent, my food, my future, my family. And I'm sure there's many people out there that would love to do the same in the long run. And you're all about, oh, I need to get millions, I need to get hundreds, tens of thousands of subscribers, I need to be pumping out content all the time just to become a full-time YouTuber. Now, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to have hundreds of thousands. You don't have to have tens of thousands. You just have to have the right mindset
and the right amount of active subscribers to push you forward to have that momentum to go full-time on YouTube. So I'm going to dispense with the tips from my personal experience, how I became a full-time YouTuber, and how you can do the same using similar techniques. Let's step into it. Number one, possibly the most important thing that you will ever hear and ever learn about becoming a full-time YouTuber is that YouTube isn't and should not be everything about you becoming a full-time YouTuber. When you are big enough, when you have millions and millions and millions of subscribers and millions and millions and millions of views guaranteed each and every day, then yes, you will generate, in theory, enough advertising dollar to maybe pay a portion of your rent. But you could be getting thousands of views a month in the wrong niche and not be getting any adverts next to your channel, and therefore not making the money that you think you should be doing. A good example, Shane Dawson put out a video very recently about conspiracy theories, and because it was a grey-ish area, it got demonetized halfway between its run. It lost 2-3 million views worth of advertising revenue. That's possibly 50, 60, 70,000 pounds worth of adverts just gone for YouTube and for Shane Dawson. Now, would he have got those views if he wasn't doing such a evocative niche? Maybe, maybe not. Look what he did with Jake Paul. He also had a sponsorship arrangement, so you never know. But if you focus solely 100% on YouTube being your goal and only your goal, then you're already on quicksand. You already have to be running faster than you are sinking forever, and you will burn out quickly. Not only that, the instant that YouTube stops working for you, the algorithm doesn't trust you anymore, or you can't make the content, or you just can't stand that treadmill, YouTube isn't happy with you, you could be gone, and then you have nothing overnight. So two, build your reputation and build your connections. I've been in the industry, as I said, 5-6 years. I've been making these YouTube tutorials for almost 2. Now, within that period of time, I've reached out to other YouTubers, I've collaborated with other YouTubers, I've offered advice, I've been in forums, I've watched other people's content, I've communicated, I've commented. Within that time, I've touched base with some people within my niche that I'd love to aspire to. I've made people aware that I exist, and from time to time, I chat with the odd occasional people that I would love to collaborate with in the future. So they know that I exist. It's those connections that somewhere down the line might reach out and gift you something, might reach out and offer to collaborate, or might give you a nugget of truth that you haven't heard that makes your life completely different. They may also be able to offer you connections outside the YouTube bubble. This is possibly the start of the most important tips here. Yes, you want to have YouTube content, but you also want to be supporting your YouTube content from outside of YouTube. Now, yes, in some cases that might be a 9-to-5 job to initially start, but it may also be making those connections that can then earn you money that are related to YouTube that can support you doing YouTube full time. Three, add services and products to your offering. Now, I am a YouTube certified expert. I do channel reviews, I do channel consultations, I do video editing, I do graphic work, I do, or used to do, much more web development work. All of this from the leads that come to me from YouTube. They see that I'm able to offer them advice, or they see my back catalogue, or they see my portfolio, and then they reach out and talk to me. I then advise them on a few things, and they hook and they grab a service and they buy from me. Because they know that I'm okay through my reputation and my hard work, they'll continue to come back and use me. The more services that you can offer and do well, the more people will trust and use you. Now, I say do well because I initially started in the web development world. I'm good at web development. I have a team that can help me with web development, but my heart and my soul has always been my knowledge, my know-how, my social media background, my open source software development, and in this case, YouTube. I know how to develop a brand, I know how to grow a YouTube channel, I know how to look at your analytics, I know what you need to create, I know how to publish those, I know to optimize your videos. So that was my skill, and that is my solid base. So I offer skills around there, whether I'm coaching, whether I'm selling a product, whether I'm improving a channel, or whether I'm niggling, deep diving into somebody's channel for them to realize what their channel is and what they need to tweak. Four, build those services into some form of monthly income. This is the thing that just pushed me over the edge and made this full-time work sustainable. For so many years, I'd sell a website, I'd build a website, they'd be happy with their website, they'd move on. They'd maybe come back in 2 or 3 years' time to redesign it or change colours or add text. But I sold a product, I gave them the product, they walked away with the product, it was done. It was a mutual kind of arrangement. They paid me, they got their product, they were happy. That leads to a lot of feast or famine within the creative world. Maybe you're experiencing it already. You get the high of, yay, I made a sale. Yay, I can eat for a week. Yay, I can pay my rent. Oh, it's wonderful. But then next month, Bob's not back buying the same website. Next month, Rachel's not coming back to redevelop her blog or make 20 videos. Making a monthly income stabilizes the ground that you're on. It may mean that you have to earn less for that project initially, but if you can sell a website or a service that's say for £1,000 and then ask them to pay you £100 a month for 10 months, you're guaranteed £100 a month for 10 months. If you do that 5, 6, 7 times, that's now £600-700 per month. And they're more likely to come back to you because they've got a monthly arrangement. That's my web guy, that's my YouTube guy. In my case, I offer consulting and video editing. So, because they have to keep making video content to put it on their YouTube channel, because they want to come back to me to grow their YouTube channel, I keep helping them with their reports and telling them how to improve and have a look at their banners and their thumbnails. And in the meantime, I can help edit their videos for them. In my case, that is my skill. Your skill could be different. It could be thumbnails, it could be design, it could be knitting, it could be spiritual reading. It doesn't matter that the groundwork is the same. You pair a product with your channel, you sell that product and you make a monthly income. That monthly income slowly over time stacks up, and instead of you losing like one client because they've bought a website, they've taken the website and they've gone, you then have 5, 6, 10 people knocking around that are paying you £100, £200, £300 per month, and it all adds up. And it's not one person that can damage you entirely if they walk away on their own. So if you have 10 clients and one walks away, you still have 9 paying you £100, £200 per month. And the more you do that, the more likely you are to get a portfolio behind you, the more likely they are to refer a friend. That way you only have to juggle those 5 or 10 people and keep all of those happy. Rather than if you're feast or famine and going for that sale, and then that sale, and then that sale, you're having to make them really, really happy, and then they're gone. And then you have to hunt for the next, I don't know, gazelle that you as the lion are eating, and then chase the next one, and chase the next one. You may have already found this out. Chasing that next sale, chasing that next customer, chasing that next anything is a lot of effort. Why not just keep the ones that you have really happy, and then they will refer people for you, because, oh, who's doing your video editing? It looks fantastic. Ah, don't worry, I'll pass you Alan's details. Oh, who did that spiritual reading for you the other day? You seem so much happier or so much more alive. Oh, don't worry, I'll pass you on to, and you just build up that client base. Number 5, build up your skills. Now, you've got them coming to you for your services and your products and your wonderful personality. You've proven to them that you can do what you can do. Now, what you need to focus on is building what you can do. When I first started YouTube, I did video editing, I did YouTube consulting, I did web development. After about a year, I went out my way and I qualified as a YouTube certified expert. I could then tell them that I am a YouTube certified expert that has now learned content ID, growth management, and copyright control. All things that improve monetization and push your channel forward, and I can use that as proof that I can do what I can do and sell another new service, new experience for them. If you are not moving forward, you are staying static. And if you're staying static within business, you might as well be moving backwards. I understand that at the moment it all sounds businessy, but YouTube is a business and you need to earn an income to support what you are doing. I know that you may have hoped that you could just turn on a camera and go in game. There's so much more to YouTube that you need to focus on to support yourself full time, at least in the short term. I mean, PewDiePie can probably play games non-stop now and not have to worry about the business that is behind him, because he's already built it. And a good solid foundation for any business is their portfolio. You need to be able to point at your success. You need to point at your clients and your customers and go, look, look, I did that for them, right? And they're happy to talk about me. Look, I made that video. I edited that content. I did that reading. I made that banner. That is my t-shirt. That is my photograph. Once you've got a portfolio, people can then trust you more. You're more likely to get like another customer if you've already got the first one, right? Also, the first one gives you the experience and the confidence to grab the next one and then the next one. And then once you've got three, you know how to talk to them, or you know what to promise, or you know what your package deal actually involves. Let's be honest, you wouldn't buy a used car from someone that you didn't even know claiming to be a used car salesman, right? You'd want to be able to walk into their car dealership and talk to their previous customers. It's the same with anything. And you can sell anything when it comes to a YouTube channel. It's just your skills that you currently have to do so. Number seven, sell yourself at a fee and not an hourly rate. Now, this is something that I'll be honest, I learned from Roberto Blake. For so many years, I would sell myself as a web developer at an hourly rate. I can build your website at £15 per hour. No matter how good I got at it, no matter how quick I could build them, I was ending up shooting myself in the foot. Because let's say, initially, the first website takes me 10 hours to build. So that's £150. And then you pay it and I'm gone. What's benefiting me getting better at my job? Because if I then built the next one in 5 hours, I've given myself a pay cut. I'm just walking away now with, you know, £15 times 5 hours, you're looking at 65 quid, when all I actually did was get better at my job. So I'm hurting myself in doing so. What you need to do is focus on a skill, know your skill, sell that skill at a set price. If it happens to be something that requires time, if you get better at that skill, they still get the same quality content and it took you half the time to do so. You've given yourself a pay rise by getting better at your job, and that's how it should be. Not only that, it now means that once you've got a portfolio, you can point at people and say, look, these five people, which let's be honest, may have paid less previously, but these five people have had this product and this service. Now, this service is now at £300, and that is exactly what you'll get for it, and this is proof that I can do it. If you can sell that with the portfolio and proof behind you and demand your price, a reasonable price, then you will have the confidence to pitch that. You can explain why you are worth that value, and that, at the end of the day, that's the money that will help you pay those bills and help you put that food on the table that allows you to do YouTube full time. It is important to support your YouTube channel by building outside of your YouTube channel. Now, yes, you will know me on here as Alan Spicer, the YouTube tricks and tips dude, right? But I'm also trying to expand on Instagram, you know, at Alan Spicer YT. I also have a presence on Facebook, which is / Alan Spicer YouTube. I have my own website, and then in the long run, maybe a podcast, or maybe an ebook, or maybe an actual book in itself. You need to expand outside the square that is YouTube, because if YouTube was to disappear tomorrow, you need to still be able to support your brand and push out your message and sell your services. This could be a mailing list. This could be a completely different platform. But if you expand outside of YouTube, it gives you a bigger spider web to catch your next clients, to make those sales, to earn that income, to pay your rent, to feed your children, to go full time on YouTube. Which leads to number nine and ties this all up in a nice neat bow. Your external income that you have earned by making videos on here to promote what you do, your brand, whether you are a gamer, whether you're a book reader, whether you happen to be an author, whether you happen to be a spiritual guidance engineer, whatever you choose to make YouTube content for, you've now built your brand around yourself. You've now built the products that you are selling. You now have a monthly income. That monthly income can create the content that you are making in the first place. If you've been around long enough, you'll know that I used to shoot in front of a fake wall. I'm now in an office. If you've been around long enough, you'll have known me when I was slightly more annoying. You learn, you teach, you create content, you grow, and you build that brand around you. You can get that camera rather than the webcam. You can get a decent audio system. You can get a decent lighting system. You need to earn the money to support the channel can then grow. I am a full-time YouTuber with just 3,000 subscribers because the 3,000 subscribers that are you watch me, help me, support me, and help me grow my brand outside of YouTube. If I wasn't able to create tutorials on here to prove that I know what I'm talking about, then other clients wouldn't come to me knowing that I know what I'm talking about and want to steal me away personally for a one-on-one chat or a channel report or a consulting gig. So you need to make yourself big enough that people have to find you. And that doesn't mean millions of subscribers. It just means dedicated, smart thinking and expanding your brand. Make sure that you sign people up monthly and you make sure that you building that safety net. Don't go for feast and famine. Don't go for viral sensation. You don't want to be a get rich quick scheme. You need to be a get quick smart scheme. That's how I went full time on YouTube with just 3,000 subscribers. Now, I hope you appreciated the deep dive. If you want more motivational rants or YouTube tips and tricks, there is a playlist up here. Hit that subscribe button for regular YouTube tricks and tip tutorials. Hit that notification icon so you're alerted every time my videos go live. Go out there, start creating. Thank you for listening to the Start Creating podcast. If you want more tips, tricks and advice from Alan Spicer, that's me, then go to youtube.com/Alan Spicer and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. See you soon. Go out there, start creating.